Welcome. Welcome to New Realities and New Realities Radio. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and I'm happy to be on BBS. BBS has been a great forum for announcing new events and introducing to the public new ideas and new guests. Tonight, I have a very interesting show with Jeremy Vaney, who's helping to produce a big UFO conference in New York. We'll be talking about the UFO phenomena and the upcoming conference and some of the highlights and some of the aspects of abduction and what that whole phenomenon is about, because I have also personal first-hand experience. But let me just tell you about New Realities a little bit. New Realities has been a leading-edge new consciousness cable show for the last 10, 15 years, and now we're making the transition to radio. And it is about exploring evolving human potentials in an evolving world. This series explores the ideas of how to become more conscious beings. I present programs, me, Alan Steinfeld, the host, present programs that invite the listener to look at their automatic behaviors and take free rein of their body, mind, and spirit so that we can hope to inhabit and create a better world. This program is constantly on the lookout for new and different perspectives in achieving a greater and more peaceful reality for the planet. It's about embracing a synthesis of rational understanding with mystical awareness. And this is some quotes that I like to just cite from my website, newrealities.tv, just to remind me of my mission and what I'm about, which is helping to bring new ideas to the planet to create really a new civilization, a civilization that has higher ideals than the one that we are previously engaged in, ideals that honor life and liberty and love and the pursuit of happiness, really, as opposed to what we've de-evolved into, which is greed and war and really not taking care of each other. I think there's a chance, and as we shift paradigms, to have a really peaceful planet where war is not an option, and to embrace a greater aspect of what it is to be human. John Stuart Mill says, "No great improvement in the lot of humanity is possible until great changes take mode in their way of thinking." So that's what's really this program's about. If I offer new ideas, new ways to think, perhaps then we'll understand who we are in a bigger way. Also, Henry Miller, who was a great writer, said, "Those of us who seem most alien are the ones who are going forward to create a new life that is yet to be formed." So the embrace of a greater humanity and a humanity that actually perhaps doesn't look anything like us is really the theme of tonight's show, and what it is to meet intelligent creatures, beings that perhaps are not part of this reality. I think that's also a key to it, a key to understanding the whole realm of what it science as has to offer us. So I'm just going to take a little musical break, and let's see if the guest will be coming up. Okay, soon. So let's take this. Okay, I was just checking because I was just getting a phone call. I was just wondering if that was my guest for the evening. Hopefully Don is on it. Don, are you there?
Jeremy's here.
Oh, Jeremy, good. Good, Jeremy, welcome to BBS Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, how'd your last radio show go?
It went well. I ended up interviewing him. It was fun.
What was the show?
Paranormal Palace.
Paranormal Talent?
Yeah, it's a website radio show.
That's what this is.
ParanormalPalace.com.
But we have actually 250,000 listeners a day.
Do you really?
Well, that's what Don said.
Well, great. Well, shoot, I should have done this earlier, huh?
Hello?
Yeah,
so generally I'm saying there's like 200,000 visitors to the website. I don't know actually how many people actually listen to the show, but more and more it's gaining in popularity. So
that's great.
I'm excited about this. So tell me a little bit about, well, I know what's going on, but can you talk a little bit, because I can't hear you that well.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, okay. So let's cover some of the stuff that's happening at the upcoming conference and also your experience as an abductee. Should we start there?
Yeah, let's start at the conference because I think...
Okay, we'll start at the conference and get people excited.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's and if you want to follow along and see all of what we're talking about, go to cultureofcontact.com. But basically, I mean, the thing that's exciting about this is it's the first time I think in history that abductees have gotten together to put on not just a conference, but I mean, it's a conference with movies and music and artwork and just the whole gamut of exciting stuff.
Yes.
And we all come together. A lot of us are strangers. We just sort of found each other and said, look, it's time to do this.
Well, that's the nature of contact, isn't it, that we're strangers? But no, but before we get into the whole thing, let's give the specifics about where, when, okay?
Okay.
And what it's called.
I love it when you yell at me, Alan.
No, I just can't hear you that well on my side. But where and when, the name of the conference?
Well, it's called Culture of Contact.
Yes.
It's June 22nd to the 24th. That's a Friday through Sunday. And it's taking place in Manhattan in the East Village at three locations. One is the Pioneer Theater. The other is public school PS63, which we've dubbed the Secret School. And the third is Lit Lounge, which is sort of an ultra-cool underground lounge club. So at those three places. And
right.
Yeah, and the schedule, as you know, is online of all the speakers and artists. There's over 30 people. Should be good times.
Well, I think it's important to know why we're doing it actually right now. I mean, it's the 60th anniversary of the Kenneth Arnold sighting, which he was a pilot flying over Mount Rainier, June 24th, 1947, that caught sight of these ships, these airships or something, and he called them flying saucers. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I think actually, yeah, he said they looked like saucers skipping over water, and then some reporter ran with it and started calling them flying saucers. But, yeah, that's basically it. We all decided, okay, let's do it thematically each year. This first year will be the 60th anniversary of Kenneth Arnold, because a lot of people are doing, you know, the 60th anniversary of Roswell. So we're sort of taking a different angle on it, and... So at the heart of it, it's abductee empowerment, but on the surface of it, it's in celebration of the coining of the term flying saucers.
Abductee empowerment? Do we need to be empowered? I mean...
Sure, yeah. We got to take this message back from the media and, you know, show them we're not a bunch of clowns, you know, we're not a bunch of victims. It's not all nonsense. It's real. And, I think it's time that we all sort of get together and say that.
Okay, so that's really the undercurrent of this show. I wasn't aware. I thought it was more, I mean, that's important, but I thought it was also more the awareness that, look, they're out there, they're real. And,
well, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't realize the specific text was the abductee angle, which is great. I'm all for that. But I think what's also important to also talk about is how much the UFO reality has actually influenced mainstream culture.
We're going to be showing movies like Earth versus Flying Saucers and Contact, and we'll have speakers in there talking about all of that stuff.
Go over some of the speakers, because I think that would get some people really excited.
Let's see. Friday night is William Burns, who's the co-owner of UFO Magazine and the co-author of the Day After Roswell with Colonel Phil Corso.
Oh, he co-authored that? Because Corso was a real, I mean, he was a general in the Army that before he died, came out and said, look, Roswell was real.
So, I said Roswell was real, and we took this alien technology, and we reverse engineered it, and that's how we came. That's how we essentially went from tubes to transistors, and eventually computers.
I don't know if I totally buy that. I think we also have a lot of brilliant people on the planet that were able to. I mean, I know I've heard the reverse engineering argument, and I think some of that. I think the laser stuff is definitely, you know, something to it. But we had an atom bomb. I mean, you know.
Sure,
the aliens helped us with that, did they?
Well, I'm not gonna argue Corso's point. I'll just say what he's saying is we gave it to our scientists, said, look, this is crashed Russian technology, see what you can do with it, basically lied, and they invented stuff off of it. So it still is our own brilliant scientists figuring stuff out. I mean, Bell Labs, if we're to believe this stuff, had no idea that it was crashed UFO technology. They thought it was Russian, so.
So, okay, so what's this guy going to speak about Friday night?
That's a good question. I think he will probably cover Roswell and give us an update on Corso. And I know he was planning on talking about the link between Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Project Serpo, which I'm, you know, sure UFO aficionados are familiar with.
What was Project Serpo? Because
Project Serpo, well, to me, I mean, you asking me, I think it's a total hoax. It's basically this, a bunch of anonymous people claiming that the U.S. sent scientists, basically glasnost with aliens. You know, we sort of sent scientists to this planet, Serpo, I think was the planet, to live there for a while and learn from them and et cetera, et cetera. You know, sort of.
And they came back and told, because I don't think I've heard this one. Is there a book about this?
No, it's all online. It's on a certain website, and I'm not sure if it's serpo.org.
I don't think I've heard this particular UFO conspiracy thing. You know, I thought I heard most of them, and I believe most of them. So, okay, so that's Philip Burns on Friday night?
Nope, that's William Burns.
William Burns, and you're hosting Friday night, right? You're going to be...
Running around to all three locations. I won't be able to, but it'll be... it'll start off Harold Egelm and Farrier Dozu will be kicking things off and sort of talking about what flying saucer means to them. Harold from the point of view of an American scientist and Farrah from the point of view of a Turkish psychic. Both abductees.
Okay, that's good. And then, so we'll have Jonathan Burns, you said?
William Burns.
William Burns. Okay, I have to look at the website. So he'll come on after they do their kind of introductory marks, and then what are we going to have?
And then we'll watch Earth versus the Flying Saucers, and then...
What year is that movie?
I'm sorry?
What year did they make that movie?
What year?
Yeah, what's the year of that film?
I don't know. 50-something? No, I really don't know.
That's one of those 50s kind of...
one of the old Harryhausen special effects movies. I mean, it's great. It's a great movie. I just don't remember the year.
Okay, I didn't realize this. Okay, so then we'll show that, and then we're going to come back and have another discussion.
Yeah, and then we'll come back, and we'll have a very brief sort of abductee Q&A where we'll talk a little bit more about what the rest of this festival is going to be and also about what this stuff means to us, you know.
Well,
and then we're
going to
hightail it over.
The angle I take on is that it has to mean a shift in consciousness, that we can no longer think of ourselves as the center of the universe, really, basically.
Yeah, we'll definitely say that.
Give that website again that has the schedule.
Sure, it's www.cultureofcontact.com.
Okay, culture of contact. And that's the website you're hosting?
CultureofContact.com.
Okay, so that kind of brings us through Friday. So we're only showing one movie on Friday night?
We're showing one movie on Friday, and the reason is we're then going to hightail it over to Lit Lounge, which is where Michael Luckman, author of The Alien Extraterrestrial, The Alien Rock and Roll Connection.
That's the name of his book, right?
Yeah, he'll be hosting the Lit Lounge thing, which will be a couple of bands playing, Roy Orbit and the Violets, and also there will be a psychic VJ who will hook the bands up to this device that not only projects their brain waves and some sort of light show on the wall, but apparently if you think of objects, or they'll show up. Like, if you think of a circle, somehow it will magically, psychically project it onto the wall.
Really?
So you're creating
you're creating
psychic artwork as you're going along.
Is this the Japanese guy with this?
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds great. So people will be able to, like, be hooked up throughout the evening?
I think so. I know he definitely at least wants to hook up one of the bands, one of the lead singers, so that we can see what his brain does as he's singing songs and, you know, going into other states.
I see. So that's after the Earth versus the Flying Saucers, which I'm seeing here now was done in 1956, the year I was born. So we'll all see the movie Earth versus the Flying Saucers as a kind of opening kickoff, and then we'll go over to the lounge and some UFO type music.
Right. Yep.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, and then
hopefully we'll use that
Saturday after the Saturday, you know, is really the main day, right?
Well, depends on what you're. Saturday and Sunday are both main days. Saturday, the art gallery opens, which will be at the school, and that'll feature abductee art, mostly, and other art as well, but a lot of abductee art. And also a staged reading of my book turned into a play, I Know Why the Aliens Don't Land, a one-man show with guests.
It's a one-man show?
It's a one-man show with guests. It's sort of a joke. No, there's a bunch of people in it. But my sister's directing it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, that sounds good, because people should know you also have a DVD out about your movie. You've really milked that book, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Play,
it's all
movie.
About me, Alan. I can't get enough of me.
And there's actually a lot of you there in the more than we might want in the movie there, Jeremy. But
yeah,
what's the name of the movie again? Tell people how to get your movie.
Sure. I have a movie called No One's Watching, an Alien Abductee Story. And you can get that pretty much anywhere online. Amazon.com is the most obvious place, and IndieFlix.
Okay, good. And then after we kind of go through the events of that weekend in June, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about you.
Sure.
What happened to you?
So Saturday we have the art show, we have that, and then at 3, and that starts at noon, the play or stage reading starts at 1. And then at 3, back over at the Pioneer Theater begins a full, and I mean full, day and night of movies and guest speakers, which is going
to
go
from... Are we going to bring everyone who's been at the art show back over to the theater?
Well, that's up to them. So we want to have it be that you get to pick and choose what you want to do. You don't have to. The art gallery is going to be open until 6, so whatever you want to do.
Okay, but Saturday we are jam-packed full of exciting people like Michael Mang and Trish Corbett, Phil Imbrogno, of course, Bud Hopkins, who I think is the godfather of UFO abductions, would you say?
Yeah, Phil Imbrogno actually isn't until Sunday, Bud Hopkins.
Oh, I see. You're right, Phil Imbrogno.
Bud Hopkins is Saturday, and then we have a special guest speaker at the end who is so secretive, even I don't know who it's going to be yet.
Well, we're still working on who that is going to be. So, I see. So, Saturday, pretty much, it's speakers and movies all about the culture of contact.
Right.
Well, I think it's great that Bud is talking on Saturday because he's a great speaker. I hope to have him on a guest on this show at some point. And so we'll have speaker, movie, right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, and then Sunday, it's pretty much speakers.
So, yeah, Sunday there are two musical interludes. It'll start off with music from Alan White. He'll, you know, doing Viv from Venus.
Well, you know about Alan
White,
he really claimed to have this girlfriend from Venus. Do you know that?
Yeah, we were talking about that today, actually.
And he really is totally convinced she was from Venus, and he wrote this, I guess, musical about it. And he
was asking me if I think that he wants to say a few words about her beforehand.
What other appropriate place would be for you to be to say something about?
Do whatever you want to do.
Well, I think he should. I mean, it's you know, people have gone that far for the ride. They might as well go a little further. And
true. On the other hand, it doesn't really help our case that when we're trying to say this is all legitimate.
That's what I want to talk to you. We're saying this is all legitimate. Yes, we've been abducted by aliens, but. But having someone come and visit you from Venus is just too far out for even the abductees. I mean, where do you draw the line?
I think
someone just listening to abductees think we're all crazy, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, and we think, you know, it's just like, I don't know, you could tell me you're from the moon, I believe it. I'm saying everyone has their own take on reality, and whatever you say your experience is your experience. If you think you've been abducted by aliens, who am I to say that you haven't been? I haven't had your experience. I mean, I think...
Yeah, but there's a difference between saying I've been abducted by aliens and a woman from Venus lived with me, and I'm not saying this woman didn't exist and didn't live with them. She did. She's been on radio shows. I mean... all this stuff. I'm saying that I think Alan has had a bunch of legitimate abduction experiences his whole life, and because of that, he's very open to the possibilities, like you are, you know? And so
it's a little further stretch out of my box to say I had this girl from Venus, and, you know, she lived with me, and then she took off on her spaceship, as opposed to, like, these, like, beings came and took me aboard, and I don't know. To someone listening to either conversation, it's both insane, you know?
Well, you have a point there.
What level of reality are we functioning on? Of course, to me and you, who think we've had some kind of abduction experience, well, that's perfectly, you know, rational. It happened. I think, you know, there's a huge bridge in the level of reality that people are functioning at within our culture anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, we're making bridges. I think this conference is about, you know, going more mainstream.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's also about, it's going to be by the end of Sunday when we have our big roundtable discussion. I think we're going to publicly air some of these things out and try to figure out if there are points of agreeance, you know, in all of our abduction accounts, you know, what do we agree on? What are the differences? What can we draw conclusions? And if so, what are they?
Well, I mean, there's definitely something else happening here that we're not aware of. Reality is definitely more complex and more overlay than we have any idea about, and I think we do exist on these other planes and dimensions. I mean, that's one sort of metaphysical explanation of the whole abduction thing. I mean, you yourself have this weird energy moving through you. Can you tell us about that, John?
Yeah, now that I've just exposed myself as a total hypocrite here. I have... I don't even know. Well, I guess I would...
We finished with the conference. I mean, pretty much it's online. We'll review this in the next couple of weeks, but
yeah,
let's
Monday,
go really into the discussion about you, Jeremy Vaney, and, into what's going on. So you had an abduction, but the effect is that you have this strange energy moving through you, or are they not related?
Well, I think they're related, but they're not. It's not cause and effect. The energy came from the day that I decided to just clear my mind for the sake of doing so. I think I really just understood that my brain, that I am not going to ever be able to figure out what truth is, what any of these big questions are. I'm just never going to do it. And the second that I figured that out, the second that I realized that,
you realize you weren't able to figure any of it out, something opened up?
Well, no, I'm saying that the second that I, the thinker, realized that thought is not going to it can't touch truth, that I disappeared, you know, because the thinker is just thought. So I think I disappeared for a second, and this other energy flowered in me, or however you want to coin the term, and my head started to spin, not like The Exorcist, but like doing an exercise, you know, just sort of rolling your head around, but it wasn't me doing it, and it...
but it wasn't you as an ego personality doing it, but it could be you as this more cosmic connected being that we all are doing it.
It could be. I mean, it flowered into this whole experience of, well, sort of Tai Chi looking things and yoga and, you know, Eastern ritualistic, I mean, things I don't have any idea what they are except peripherally. I've now, you know, sort of read about them or whatever. And it might just be a Kundalini awakening. You know, people talk about these things. And it could be that. But there were several instances where it did feel like possession, for lack of a better term.
Possession,
like something.
But you could control it, though. It's not like you can't control what's happening. If you wanted to, you could stop it, right?
Well, yeah, I shut it off. I'm not controlling it. I'm not doing it. But I'm certainly not going anywhere. I don't black out or anything like that, and I can stop anytime I want, yeah.
But you, when you do allow it, you find that you're feeling better, right?
Yeah, I mean, when it's happening, it feels totally natural, and it feels great. It feels beneficial. It's only later, when you think about that this shouldn't be happening or whatever, that it becomes strange. But, yeah, when you're doing it, no, it's fine.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Go for it. I mean, let yourself have it. I mean, don't, you know, limit yourself to the personality that you think you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great that you're allowing it and it's happening.
Yeah, I'm only limiting myself for now. I mean, I know that I'm going to let this thing do what it wants to do eventually. Just right now, I'm too busy.
You're too busy. I mean, at some point you think you might just... I mean, because I've seen the movements, at least in your film, and they do look like Tai Chi-type fluid movements where maybe you are possessed by some old Chinese Taoist master or something like that.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. It might be as simple as once you... stop thinking or stop thought that this other energy in you expresses itself, and because it's not you, it's going to feel like a possession. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because
but it is you in a sense. It's not the
some
you,
other.
You think you are. It's not the ego identification with this false personality. I think I hear you saying is that there's another part of you that's way more in touch.
Yeah, there's another part of you that's got its own informed movements, and because of that, it looks like possession. I want to say that, but like I said, there have been a few points where no, it was clearly something else was in me and around me, yeah.
Right, and so you think the alien stuff just helped open you up to this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's strange, because I can't imagine that I'm an abductee and this is happening, and they're not connected. I mean, it just, that's like one step too far.
Think that's just a strange coincidence?
Yeah, what a weird coincidence.
Energy run through you. So you...
No, I definitely...
So they are related. I think they are related somehow, too.
Yeah, and it's shown me that they're related. I mean, I've had, you know, a couple of experiences that have indicated that at the very least, that these beings know exactly what this is, you know, and of course they do.
Well, what do you think it is, though? I mean...
I haven't been able to peg it yet. I really don't know. I'm just watching it unfold. It seems like, if, for lack of a better term, at least an enlightenment process. You know,
this is a major question. I mean, once you get over the fact that, yes, they're here, what are they here for? Are they here to evolve us? Are they good, bad, evil, nasty... want to take over the earth? I mean, it sounds like from your experience they are really here, and I tend to agree, and maybe I'm just putting my own opinion on your is that they're here to help uplift us to become more enlightened beings. I mean, do you get that?
Yes, I get that, but I also get the negative side of the negative connotation of that nobody seems to really want to deal with is that if the illusion is separation and the truth is oneness, then
mm-hmm.
then we're not, what's not important is us, because the separate ego identity isn't real. So,
well, it's not real.
If don't wake up to
one thing.
Buddhists are telling
everyone.
Hold on a
this
second.
Is the mystical traditions have always said this.
Alan.
What?
Are you with me?
I'm with you, but I may have missed a few words. What did you say?
I'm just trying to say the problem here is that because we're not special in this equation, if we don't wake up, then we are a species that has failed, and so it does not matter if, for instance, another ice age happens and, you know, 80% of the population dies off. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
us,
I don't quite follow you in that discussion. I mean,
right.
You're saying we're not important because of why?
I'm saying what's important about us is our capability to wake up to God sentience, essentially, to God full awareness.
And you think the aliens have already woken up to this aspect of themselves?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's exactly why they're here, because because once you do that, waking up another species is waking yourself up. It's oneness waking oneself up. And if we don't do that, then we fail.
Other people have also argued and expressed the fact that they are also learning something from us as well, that they're learning the more human emotional qualities that we embody in a very severe way.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
I think there's a lot of charade going on. I think there's a lot of acting going on and hocus pocus and, you know, all sorts of abstract ways that they come at us that are not literally true.
Oh, really? And that charade's happening because of an overlay of our depth psychology that doesn't let us see the truth?
I'm not really sure. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know how much of it is a conscious intention on their part and how much of it is that their message literally gets messed up because they're outside of our, you know, space-time. And so, you know, it's sort of somewhere in there, something gets lost in translation. I'm not really sure.
So then you don't buy the whole David Jacobs thing, the whole fear factor, that we have to be afraid of this, you know, takeover.
I mean, my abductions are scary beyond belief, but it's as, to steal Whitley Strieber's thinking,
yeah.
It's actually almost an allergic reaction on a soul level, or, you know, this fear, and that it's ours, and it has nothing to do with them. But I think somebody like a David Jacobs, if you have an influx of abductees who are all terrified, right, then you're going to think there's a terrorizer. And so when those people come back later and say, look, we've dealt with this, we realize now it wasn't that it was the fear was our own, but David Jacobs still has new people coming to him terrorized, then he's going to say to those other people, well, you're suffering Stockholm Syndrome. You're identifying with the abuser, or these guys are manipulating you to say nice things about them. But
right.
You're not seeing the bigger picture.
Well, I do tend to agree with you. I mean, it's terrifying to be pulled out into this functional reality that we think we're living in and into a whole new set of rules and universe and beings that we have no idea that exist, but somehow they are, and we have no psychological preparation for any of it, and it's traumatic. That's our own mind creating the trauma, yes.
It's traumatic, and it's also traumatic on the spiritual and even philosophical level of, if I am not the thoughts in my head, if these beings are telepathic and can read me and can seemingly steal thoughts from me, then what am I if I am not those things? What am I? You know, it gets right back to that very fundamental death fear that we have, or fear of annihilation, you know?
Right. I think that is where that mystical question of... what you brought up before is really talked about in the whole abduction experience. What am I if I'm not who I've been programmed to think I am? Then what are we? Well,
yeah.
I think that's part of the problem, is that we're much faster and bigger than we've been taught to think we are. I mean, who we are,
yeah,
on a spiritual level.
Absolutely. And the second that I realized this was when I saw these beings, you know, face-to-face in my bedroom, and I was, like I said, terrified beyond belief. But through that, I could recognize, you know, just when you meet somebody and you sort of get a good feeling from them, well, my feeling from them was these are sort of nice or whatever, you know, there's sort of a playful naivety and openness about them, something good. But for some reason, I was terrified in shock. And it doesn't make sense. I mean, they're not doing anything to me.
They're fragile little beings. The shock is that we are unprepared for the reality that they bring. That's what I think the shock is.
That could be it.
What else would the shock be? They're physically unable to hurt us. They're like these, fragile little insect type beings with no muscle mass. They're not doing anything.
A lot of this stuff is like they're staring at me on a table. Like, if you look at a lot of these accounts, and I've been through this, maybe you have too, of lying on a table and being stared at. You know, what horrible thing is transpiring there? Nothing.
Well, they are taking genetic samples, I think, and that could be a little painful. I think, though, what's terrifying is to realize that your thoughts aren't your own and that you're not in control of your thoughts, except I did find that when I did start to control my thoughts, and despite the interactions, I was no longer abducted because they couldn't handle me once I gained more control over myself and the power of my own thoughts. Do you find there's a connection in that?
Well, I don't know, because I'm not there, I would love to not be terrified enough.
Well, when was the last time you were abducted?
The last time I know was October 2001.
And give us a little scenario. What happened?
It was that time, actually, and it was basically I'm in the apartment that I'm in now, but in a different bedroom, and my mattress was on the floor, and I had a girlfriend there at the time who was lying next to me, and I was, I was asleep, and I was facing her, and bright light coming in from outside my window woke me up,
And she didn't wake up.
What's that?
She did not wake up.
She didn't wake up. I woke up. I sat up on my elbow. I'm trying to look out the window. It's just this bright, white, diffuse, sort of foggy light,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't figure it out, so I did whatever. I just rolled over onto my back, and, there they were on my right side, these three beings. Short gray guy.
How big?
Let's see. If I'm lying on my floor, I would say maybe they were 4 feet tall, maybe.
Okay, so you're in the bed, the girlfriend's next to you, the three beings show up, and they're looking at you.
Yeah, they're looking at me, and now I'm scared out of my mind. And they're wearing tunics, or they're wearing some sort of hooded, cloak or something.
Hooded? Is it hooded?
Yeah, they're wearing hoods.
Okay, but you could see big eyes.
Big eyes, seemingly bald,
Not much nose, little mouth.
Nose, yeah, the whole thing.
And do they say anything to you then?
No, they don't say anything. They're just staring at me.
And are you in an altered state? Are you somewhat dreaming? Or
not that I know of. As far as I know, I'm perfectly awake.
You're perfectly consciously awake.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what happens?
Well, and then in contradiction to that, the next thing I know, dreamlike in that sense, I suppose, I'm in another location. I'm in this sort of nondescript room. It's dark except for the same quality of light coming down from what I assume is a ceiling. And in front of me is a row of tables, and on those tables are humans seemingly unconscious, naked. And the one closest to me is a woman, maybe in her late 40s, early 50s, long blonde hair. And the beings are standing around her. And I'm standing there in my boxer shorts, just like I went to bed in.
And you're standing around with the beings looking at this woman on the table.
Well, I'm standing a little bit further back. So they're up by her, up by her. And I'm sort of standing back a few feet. And they're looking at me as if, like, show and tell, as if saying, look, see, this is what we do,
And what were they actually doing to the woman?
Nothing. They were just standing there. They were just sort of presenting her to me as if saying, look, this is what we do.
Okay.
And I actually thought to myself, God, why am I seeing this? And this female voice that I've heard during abductions and abduction-type scenarios, but never seen a body attached to, she just speaks to me telepathically, says, because you've always wanted to remember an abduction. Very strange, and that's what I remembered of it. And then
what happens after that, after the voice then?
Well, then I don't know. Then then it's, you know, the next day or whatever. And I remember...
Right, the next thing you know, you're waking up the next day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want, and I remember, if this makes sense, I remember remembering more to that episode, but I let it go over the course of, say, a
but
month.
But you did write it down, didn't you?
I wrote down that much later. I didn't write it down immediately.
At the time, I wanted, you
know why?
Remembering more.
Well, yeah, because I wanted it to be a dream. I didn't write it down because I really wanted this to be a dream. For some reason, I didn't want this to be real. And part of it was that I saw the light coming in through my window, and I thought, well, you know, I live in Queens. There's no way a light was coming through my window, and it didn't wake up the entire neighborhood. So even though everything about this was totally real, it couldn't have been real. So cut to a couple of years later,
uh-huh.
And here's where the meditation energy, you know, comes into play.
Yeah.
I'm lying in bed, and it's right before I go to sleep. The meditation energy sort of starts to take over and wants to do its own thing, so I let it. And it, instead of doing any of the meditative stuff it normally does, it ends up sort of pressing against my right nostril, like at the bridge of my nose, the way you would mm-hmm. if you had a bloody nose. And that's all it's doing. And it's sort of fiddling around with my nose and stuff. So
the
I
energy bed. Itself that's moving through your body is like in the nose area.
Yeah, it's doing something absolutely different than what it normally does, or a type of thing that's totally pedestrian, let's say. Just sort of...
Okay.
So, I go to sleep or whatever, and at some point, once again, you know, now I'm in a different... This is a couple of years later, so I'm in a different bedroom, in a real bed. And I'm woken up by bright light. And I'm facing the window, and I'm looking out the window, and it's dark out, and it's not making sense to me. I'm like, why... You know, what time is it that this is happening? And I, you know, so I'm like, this is odd, and I turn over, and where my wall should be is the light. Where my wall should be is that same diffuse, foggy light. And as I'm looking at this, my nose starts to bleed, but it's trickling down the back of my throat. So I'm not bleeding all over my bed. So whatever this meditation energy was doing, it seemed to be predicting whatever was going to happen later in the night and cauterizing my nose for it, if that makes sense.
Well, maybe the beings were actually there, but you just weren't seeing them, you know? Maybe they're working with you on a higher invisible dimension. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah. And I've had things happen that do speak to that. So, yeah, I definitely think that could be true.
And
I don't remember what happened... Other than that light, but the fact that I saw that light where my wall should be told me that the other thing that I wanted to be a dream was not a dream.
So that's when you put it together. That was the moment you said, hey...
That was the moment I said a portal is opening up and these things are stepping through.
And so how long did that wall disappear in your bedroom? How long was that gone for?
Well, that was gone and, you know, it was another one of those... Until, you know, whatever, the next day, I don't know what happens. You go unconscious or...
Okay, you go unconscious, and the next day you wake up and you say to yourself, what?
Nothing. The next day I didn't remember it. The next day we had this subletting roommate, and I was talking to him in the kitchen, and my nose, as I was talking to him, my left nostril, not the one that my hand had blocked up, started bleeding, and that triggered all the memory. And I went, oh, my God. And I immediately remembered all of that stuff.
Did you freak out?
No, because he was standing there, and he didn't, like I said, he was a subletting roommate, so he didn't know anything about me, so I'm not going to freak out in front of him. So I just went and wrote down what, you know, all of my memories.
And you didn't allow yourself to freak out. So are you getting more used to the whole idea that you're being contacted? I mean, is it becoming sort of like, oh, yeah, I mean, is that what this conference is about, is to kind of normalize it for so many people, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
There's enough of us out there, and I'll tell my experience at some point, which is not as vivid as yours. I mean, I had marks on the back of my leg, and I remember not moving during the night on this cross-country trip. But I've had vague memories my whole life since the time I was like three of being, you know. So... I think there's enough of us out there who've had some kind of experience that it should be talked about more publicly, you know?
Yeah, and I think also on the level of people who do look at this stuff, you know, there seems to be no consensus as to whether these are real aliens, whether this is some trickster force pretending to be aliens, whatever that means, you know, what this thing is. And I, you know, for my part, you're asking me, you know, what do I think? How has this strengthened my quote-unquote belief or whatever? But yeah. I think what it has done, you know, it's, this incident in particular has shown me that they are, in fact, individuated beings that are every bit as real as you and me. And it's not some trickster force pretending to be various things or whatever. You know, it's not some angels, devils, you know, thing. It just is what it is.
It could also be a reality as well, but this particular group of beings are aliens, for lack of a better word, right?
Or, yeah, interdimensional, whatever. Whatever that word means, yeah, just that they're real beings.
They're real beings, but they're not necessarily 3D beings.
Well, these guys...
Think they are they? Have you touched them?
That's
what Whitney makes a big thing about. I touched them. I smelled them. But in your experience...
I don't know. I don't have memory of it. I should really undergo hypnosis or something. I mean,
You should go into hypnosis, because I think, you know, that gap between, you know, watching the woman on the table and waking up the next morning, a lot happened there.
Yeah.
Definitely true. I can find you. Let's do some hypnosis on the radio. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Sure. That'd be good radio.
Reveal for the first time Jeremy's abduction.
Yeah.
That would be great. I think that's what, like, a radio show like this could really open up, like a first-hand experience. It'd be great advertisement, too. We'll promote it. So let's find a good hypnotherapist.
Okay. Yeah, I'm for it.
And we'll regress you on the air.
As long as I can tape it, videotape it for a sequel for my movie, yeah.
Yeah, we'll videotape it while we're on the radio. We'll do the whole thing. That could be... So stay tuned, whoever's listening out there, to our upcoming shows when we will have a real live regression of an abductee.
My only concern is, with this energy, am I going to be hypnotizable, or am I just going to start moving around and, you know, doing weird stuff?
Well, you know, and I've experienced something. It's just relaxing the mind enough to recall memories that have been suppressed. And a good hypnotherapist will put you at ease. So the stuff that you had to suppress because it really would have freaked you out, you come into a kind of observer effect, and you just let
yeah,
everything
yeah,
just
well,
come
I've been hypnotized
you.
Before. Did I tell you this,
yeah.
that I've been hypnotized?
You've been hypnotized?
Yeah, I've been hypnotized before, but I don't remember what I said, and I'm assuming I was suggested not to. This woman, when I was in college, I was really having a hard time with this stuff, so, you know, I went to a therapist.
You were abducted in college. I mean, throughout your whole life you've been abducted.
Yeah, well, I had been abducted in high school, and it was still eating away at me, and I, you know, went
to... So you were hypnotized in college, and the woman who hypnotized you was freaked out by what you told her?
No. The woman who hypnotized me was an abductee herself. Her and her husband, they believe that they were paired together, actually. And
I think, you know, there's a book out about that, the pairing of abductees,
The end result of this was that she offered me free therapy. She offered to see me for free. But I didn't go back to her because I didn't remember saying anything, you know. But
well,
I was out.
Did she tell you what you said? I mean, the
no.
Whole idea.
So she must have suggested A, don't remember, and B, don't ask. Like I that's the only way I can think of that what happened. Because
but
I never done
you're
it all these years
to
even ask her. What's that?
You think you're ready to remember?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, as much as anyone's ready, I suppose. Sure. Well,
I mean, the thing about it, it really is freaky that there's a set of rules that you know, this reality is just a subset of. There's a whole other thing happening all around us that we have no idea about.
Yeah.
It's what's her name? Pamela Stonebrook. I've interviewed her. You know her. She's the one who had sex with aliens. Actually, I should have her on the show. She's great. She says, and I'll probably use this, I'll probably say this at the conference, but she says, we're like a colony of ants living next to a four-lane highway saying, what was that? You know? It's like we have no idea what's going on in the universe around us. We're functioning at such a minimum level of consciousness that
when you finally do
open up and drop the identity, things start coming to you because you start to move up through the levels of conscious awareness in a universe that's so complex that we don't have any idea what's going on.
And I experience that now with this energy. I can actually see more, you know, I actually know for a fact that there are energies that look like, insects or amoeba, something of that, but they definitely look like they're alive, that zip around in the atmosphere. I mean, you know, white wisps of smoke, there are white dots of, you know, light, black, red, you know, these things weren't there before, but now I have this broader vision for whatever reason.
Well, that's great. I mean, you should be, you know, happy.
It is great. It's great to know that there's, but it's just like, well, if that's what I see now, God, what else is there? You know, it's like, you know,
well,
who knows?
Yeah,
if we
I
can
mean,
see everything,
you
we might
keep opening up more and more. I mean, it's not just the alien. I mean, there's yogis that have that kind of transcendent vision, you know? I mean, I mean, it's like Ram Dass, who gave his guru LSD, and it didn't affect him at all because he was already at that state where he could see those higher levels. He didn't need any of that, you know?
Yep.
And actually, there's many enlightened beings that talk about the creatures that live on other planets. So.
Yeah, this is true. And actually, the people I put in my movie, you see their demonstrations all the time in New York.
What?
The meditators, the Chinese.
The Falun Gong?
Falun Gong, yeah, that they believe that their meditation system was given to them by people from, I think, the moon, but definitely people from space. And I didn't know that when I put them in my movie. I just thought, wow, that they do these same sort of creepy poses in
well,
their
actually,
protests
maybe,
that I do.
Maybe there really is a connection there for you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that,
you know what's funny? Funny about that is once I went to, I saw them out on the street, and one of the guys, you know, they're supposed to stand perfectly still. If no one's ever seen a Falun Gong demonstration, they, you know, they're demonstrating against the persecution they receive in China, and they pose like perfect statues. So it'll be like a cop pretending, you know, posed as if beating a Falun Gong person, and so the guy playing the cop or you know whatever in this perfect pose actually looked over at me and gave me a nod, which I thought was, you know, that's one of those things that's personal. It's neither here nor there objectively, but to me it was like Jesus. You know, like, oh my God, this guy broke character to nod at me. I wonder what that's about.
That's great. Wow. Wow. So, Jeremy, let's just do a little recap. We have to kind of finish up here. We are going to have this conference called The Culture of Contact. That will be June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Go to the website cultureofcontact.com. All 3 days are laid out there, all the activities, films, movies, art show.
And you'll be
emceeing
reading. On Sunday.
What's that?
You'll be emceeing on Sunday, so come on
and
out.
And I, Alan Steinfeld, the host of this New Realities radio show, will be emceeing all day on Sunday. So is there a phone number people can call?
You can call 718-786-0094. And I will get back to you with answers to whatever questions you may have.
Okay, I've been talking to Jeremy Vaney. And the name of your movie again, Jeremy?
No One's Watching, an Alien Abductee's Story.
Okay. And I'm Alan Steinfeld. This is New Reality. Hang on, Jeremy. I'm going to play a song by Duke Williams and the Extreme. He's an abductee. He wrote this song called The Night Before the Future. And that's the song I usually end this show with, and it's his experience as an abductee transposed into this music. So I just want to say that let's do another show at least before June just to keep talking. Maybe we'll have Harold on, who has an abductee support program that he does, and talks that he does. So let's do another show for sure, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great. Sure.
Okay, thanks. Anything else we need to say before we say goodbye?
Nope, just come on down to the festival. It's going to be a historic event.
Okay, so hang on. Listen to the song. I just want to say goodbye. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and you can catch me at www.newrealities.tv. That's my website. I'm also on Manhattan Cable every Monday night at 9 p.m. on Channel 57. That's MNN.org. You can listen to me here 9:30 every Sunday night, East Coast time, 6:30 West Coast time. And I don't know who's ever in the Middle East and West Coast. I'll figure that out. Thank you, Jeremy Vaney, for being the guest tonight and talking about the culture of contact. This is Duke Williams and the Extremes, and I'll see you next time. So here we go. Let's see.
Because life is short, and when it ends, just remember the things you see might not quite be your...